Everyone, welcome back to Dad Space. I get to talk to great people on the podcast, and today is no exception. We're going to be talking all things dad on the show, and Dorian's with me today. We're going to be talking about, you're going to also have him on my other podcast, my Living the Next Chapter podcast, because he's an author. He's got some great books and some great thoughts around grief and loss, but we're going to touch on that today, but also talk about our dad's story. So, Dorian, welcome to Dad Space. Glad to have you here.
Hey, thank you. Do we need to address being on our best behavior in front of everybody now? Because we didn't agree just before you pushed record.
I promise to be on my best behavior. It's a complete option for you. You can do whatever you like.
Sweet. Yes. It's a maybe. Go. It's a maybe. All right.
It's no, a solid maybe. Yes.
Yes. Yes. I'm honored to be able to. We had a great conversation initially and just you're doing some great things, and that I think I love the fact that you're talking about, you know, all things dad, like the importance of being a dad. You know, to jump right into it, I think I have learned so much about what the importance of being a dad is, because for two reasons. First of all, back in 2017, I lost my oldest. And he was 19, and he went for a hike. And it was just before Memorial Day weekend. There was record runoff. A river that he was hiking by was so high. And somehow we got too close, and we looked for, he left on Thursday before Memorial Day weekend. And we found him, the search and rescue found him in the river just before noon on Saturday, but everything had already happened before we started looking. Right, I'll go into more detail about that later. Excuse me, but the other part is that not being able to spend enough time with my other kids, and I won't go into this much, but I'll talk about how I view being a dad and the importance of being a good dad, or whatever what my definition is, because of knowing what I've lost, both from losing a child and not being able to be around my other kids. So, the toughest part for me is sometimes watching those parents who, there are certain things that matter and certain things that don't. And so when I hear, you know, some of these kids being berated, I think to myself, I would love to just go over there and say this, not cause an altercation or anything, but just say, you know, if not for that child, please do it for me. Please stop. Don't treat him like that, you know? Now, the reason I say all of this is because what I've learned is that our kids watch us as a dad. I can say that the reason that I do certain things and I don't do certain things is because I watched my dad. It's not what everybody thinks. It's that, you know, what a great hero. I do a lot of things because I watched him not do a lot of things, and it drove mom crazy. But then I also watched him do certain things that drove mom crazy, and I don't want to be like that. So I just sat back and was more aware of the situation. So if you know, I've noticed that, like with my kids as they were growing up, if I would ask them, what is it that they want and what is it they need, their answer is a little different than what I ever thought it would be. So, you know, like if one of my youngest, I'll say, if he is about to blow a gasket, and I would be like, okay, what's the matter? He look at me, I just need to drink. No one is listening. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm sorry. That in itself, I'll put that on me, because he would walk up to me and ask if he could talk to me for a second. And I was in the middle of something. The long and short of that one is I would say, okay, my mistake. What do you want? And he would be, he only thought the option was water. And I said, do you want water? Do you want milk? Do you want juice? What do you want? And all of a sudden, that connection or that relationship that we had was stronger because we were able to work through that instead of saying, knock it off, put up your attitude, da-da-da-da-da, right? Because it was a want and it was a need. Obviously, I mean, just simple thing, just get a drink. But he felt like everybody was ignoring him and that. I would yell too, you know? And so I think, you know, if we, even if we just look, even if we look at our kids in the eye and just say, okay, what is it that you want and what is it you need? Even if they can't express how they feel, I think sometimes just that, the awareness of, you know, especially dads and daughters, especially to say, what is it that you want and need? There's a lot of emotion there that men don't feel. But if we can talk through it, and maybe they are upset or something, and there's no solution to it, but they know that their dad's got their back no matter what, you know, I think that's huge.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And that relationship can be tested. It can be strong. It can be weak at times.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
As dads, we really need to, you have to feed a relationship. You have to, whether that's time or whatever, right? You have to really pour into that relationship to make it stronger.
Yeah.
Any tips from your perspective on how you make a relationship stronger with your kids?
Yeah. This is going to sound crazy. Don't give them any rules. Okay. Now.
Wow.
I say that, but this is what I mean. There are rules, but it's a fact of it's more individual pertaining to their personality. It's more like, for example, it's like when we would discipline. When I would discipline my kids, I would know exactly who I could raise my voice to a little bit without them, you know, either spouting back or whatever. My oldest, wasn't good. My oldest daughter, if I would ignore her, that was the worst thing in the world. Okay? Because she wasn't getting the attention of that. So if the rules go, okay, instead of yelling back, because all she's going to do is yell and, you know, take certain things away, I don't care. Okay? So my point is that we look at them and say, here is the rule based on that, and let them help us to create that rule. Okay? The reason I say that part is because if we look at them and say, okay, what should the rule be? And then they say, well, this or this, whatever it is, okay? And I'll give you a good example of it. If they help us create that rule and they understand why the rule is based on the logic and reason of, we don't play in the road, how come? Because we're going to get hit by a car and get hurt. Okay, that's a great thought, okay? And then the moral aspect of it is because, you know, I love you, great idea. Thank you. I don't want anything to happen to you, okay? If something happens and they're out in the road or whatever, we don't have to do anything or say anything. What's the rule? Then you blame the rule as opposed to blame the child. Right? Because all of a sudden, they become an idiot again if you blame them for breaking the rule. No, what's your rule? Okay. What happens if we don't live up to that rule or whatever? I can get hurt. I don't want that. Come on in. Okay. Again, my oldest daughter, she was living with her mom, and she had come up. She was hanging out with some friends. And she came up to visit me, but she was hanging out with some friends, and they were gone. Okay, they'd left. I had no idea. And this wasn't long after my oldest son had passed away. And so when she left, I tried giving her a call to find out where she was at. No answer, all of this. So she finally came home at like 1:30 in the morning. She's, what, 16 or something like that? And I'm thinking, you know, a group of kids and that, I'm thinking, okay, I think that they're, this is the direction they went. And I have no idea how to get a hold of them. I have no idea where to start looking for them. And I'm freaking out. Okay. So when she came to my house, all I said was, head to bed. We'll talk about it in the morning. Okay. Now, I know how I would handle the situation with her older brother. It was just having a conversation of help me to understand. Help me to understand what was going on. Help me to understand why you didn't call or text me or let me know what was going on, right? So first thing in the morning, like having something in the morning, I wake up and notice that she is not in her bed. And I know that she has so much anxiety and freaking out because she doesn't know what's about to happen. Okay. So what I did is I went out, and I'm not a perfect parent by any stretch. I just have learned so many things. And so when I went downstairs, she was all dressed and just not knowing what the conversation was going to be, because I'll say it this way, who she was living with would have handled it completely different. Okay. So I walked up to her, you know, I said, come sit down. So we sat down on the couch and I said, okay, help me to understand. Help me to understand why, you know, where did you go? Why didn't you let me know? Why? Well, we went over here. That's not where you said you were going to go. Help me to understand why you didn't even call or text. My phone died. Was there somebody else who had a phone? Yes. Could you have used that one? Yes. Okay. And this is the part where I don't know where it came from, but it helped so many things, because, and I watched a judge do this one time because he had to dismiss something that was he couldn't hold somebody accountable for because it wasn't handled properly. My point is that I looked at her and I said, what time were you supposed to be here? And she says, I don't know. You didn't tell me. I said, you're absolutely right. So curfew is not a factor. That's not what we're going to discuss. And all of a sudden, that set aside. I couldn't talk about it. I couldn't say, you were supposed to be here at midnight or 11:30 or whatever. Okay, I could not hold her accountable to that because we never talked about it. So all of a sudden, her guard goes down and she feels like she's able to visit us a bit more. Okay? And I said, I looked at her and I said, so, where did you guys go over here? Who were you with? These people. Okay. And I said, I asked her, which direction did you go? Did you go this way or this way? There are two different highways you can get to where she went. And she said, we went over this way, which in the middle of it, there's no cell service. So she couldn't have called if they hit a deer or an elk or wraps the road or if there was a problem, right? And I looked at her and I said, here's why I struggled so hard with this, is because I was scared to death that something had happened, but I don't know and I can't get a hold of you.
Right.
That's why I was so frustrated and mad and that, because I was more concerned. She's like, I'm sorry. I said, just to understand that if you're going to go do something like that, I want you to. I just need a little bit more information, right? Yeah. And then I turned to her and I said, so did you have fun? We're done. We're done talking about that. Right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to bring it back up. I already addressed it. And so, you know, is there, did you have fun? Yeah. What'd you guys do? Did the guys treat you well? Is there a problem? You know, so we just went on about, you know, some of these things. But I learned that first and foremost, there had to be and has to be a safe space for not only the parent, but the child to come in. Because I had, you know, just after my kid's mom and I got divorced, my oldest daughter sent out something on their Facebook. I was basically saying, you know what? I love my mom. She's the greatest, and this or this, and just praised and ooh, all. Oh, my kids were with me for the last 9 months Well, for, you know, they didn't leave me. My ex-wife, you know, left. And anyway, but my oldest daughter is saying how wonderful her mom is and how she needs, you know, her and all that greatest person in her life. Cut my heart out. Okay. And I expressed that to a friend and they said, take it as a compliment. I'm like, are you kidding? That's not a compliment. Mm. And exactly. I'm like, help me to understand this. She said, she knows she's safe with you. She doesn't have to tell you how much she loves you. She doesn't have to make a big deal with the brass band about knowing that when she's around you, she can say how she feels. She can do certain things. She knows that you'll call her out on certain things, but she also knows that in the meantime, she can be who she is. That's the important part, is we're trying to teach these kids to make decisions, and yet we have all of the control over them up to age 18. If you're living in my house, you're living by my rules. I get to decide all of these things. And then at age 18, so what are you going to do with your life? And what's the hope of these kids to turn around and say, I'm going to be a doctor or attorney because I can make my own decisions. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you think about it, the most important part of them, I'm not going to say is for these kids to make a mistake. I'm saying to let these kids learn from their experience, whatever it is. If they get a car stuck,
yeah,
don't go out there and berate them about getting a car stuck, because I'm a hypocrite if I do. Teach them how to get it out. Teach them in that moment. What a great teaching experience, right? And so I don't know how many times, you know, my kids be like, hey, Dad, this is what's going on. I'm like, okay, where is it? And they're anticipating me to be mad and this and that. I'm like, no, let's just go get a shovel. How'd you do this? Over here, da-da. Okay, all right. What did you learn? Not to do that again. Okay, perfect. You know, yeah. If we berate them, all they know is if something happens like this again, I don't dare go back, and I'll have to stay all day. I'll have to get a stick and dig myself out and stuff like that, instead of going back and saying, how do I do this? You know, because I saw a meme one time that said, you can't hurt my feelings. I helped my dad fix the car.
Yeah.
And so I look at that, and how many times do we say, oh, this one's going to hurt. This is what happened. Bam. Verbally. I'm just going to say verbally. Okay. And then we learn how to make things sound different than what they really are. Instead of being authentic and vulnerable and just saying, yeah, I did it.
Yeah. You're trying to protect yourself.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
From the very people who you shouldn't have to protect yourself from.
Right. Right. Right.
Now, the other part is, I think one of the most important parts is to let each of our kids be who they are, not who we want them to be, and not put expectations of, you need to live up to this, or you need to live up to that, okay? Couple reasons. I've got a friend who, he was a big wrestler, okay? He's not a big guy, but he was really, really good at wrestling, and she was so looking forward to having a son who would wrestle and play football like he did and all that stuff. Well, his son has Asperger's. He doesn't have a killer bone in his body, but he is an amazing artist. And so to look at this and not, you know, not to look at his son and say, seriously? How, you know, what a failure, you know? Mm. So all of a sudden, and this kid, you know, the dad is like, okay, what do you need for your art? Because you're amazing at that, right? My son, so I played a lot of baseball growing up. And so my hope was that one of my kids, you know, I've got two boys, two girls, one of my kids would play baseball, or, you know, one of the girls would play softball. I put my oldest son in baseball, and he was miserable, miserable. But he was a cross-country runner. I would be miserable, right? So not even close to me, but he loved it. But then he also, in his junior and senior year of high school, played lacrosse. He wasn't one for contact sports until he started playing lacrosse. And that game allowed him to be who he is and who he became, just because he could lay everything out on the field and say, oh my gosh, that felt good. But if I said, no, you're a baseball player, you play third base, which he hated having that ball hit so hard and fast at him. It didn't bother me. I mean, if I knew if it hit me in the head, it was going to hurt. You know, I tease about that, but that was my love. But I wouldn't play football. I was scared of getting hit by somebody. But you hit a ball at me, please, I'll stop it with my body. I don't care. And so I think it's, you know, thinking through some of these things, I think, you know, let them be who they are. And also, I think, you know, when you're talking to all of them, I would call everyone by name, okay? I would call their name and listen for them. Yes, 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 yes. And then I would address, say, okay, 10 minutes, we're leaving. So each one knew that I was talking to them specifically and just say, I didn't hear you. Because they would drown out my voice otherwise, right? And so then I could go and address them and say, hey, do you need help gathering all your stuff up? Do you need help with this? Are you okay? Is 10 minutes enough time for you to be ready? Yeah. Okay. Because I'm not saying, you know, I'm the go all be all. I'm just like, because if there's something where it's going to take them 20 minutes to clean up because they were having a good time about something like that, it also allows me to say, what do you need help with? Right. I'm not above that. But I think, you know, to look at our kids. Not long after my oldest son passed away, I learned one of the biggest lessons. And this kind of rocks a few people when I say it this way. Our kids are not ours. Our kids are not ours. The reason I say it that way is because they are born into our family and we are given the responsibility to be a steward over them, which means that our responsibility is to teach them to make good decisions, not necessarily right or wrong, good or bad, but make them or teach them to make decisions for themselves, learn from their experience, all of that. And once my son passed away at 19, I felt like there was a release from that calling, so to speak. And so I'm a steward. As soon as they're 18, legally, I have, you know, I can't say anything. I can't control them anymore. I can with guilt and shame, but I choose not to. And so if we look at them, if we look at our kid differently, that we are given responsibility to raise them to be good, upstanding people. To me, that offers a different view, as opposed to you're responsible until the day you die. No, you're not. No, you are not. And so give them opportunities. Give them, even if it's, how often is it that we hear somebody say, give your kids a choice, even, you know, for eating, like, well, I only make one thing. Give them a choice. Do you want this or this along with what you're making, right? All of a sudden, they feel like they're in control of what goes in their body, okay?
Right.
Do you want, three or four bites? Do you want two or three bites of that broccoli? I know you don't like it, but let's do this. Three or four, you choose, okay? And so I think if we look at that, it's because everybody thinks that what their kids do so many times affects how people view them as a parent. We can be the very best parent. We can be perfect. But when it comes down to it, they're still their own individual person, and they need to be treated that way, and they need to be treated as if they're not, you know, they're not controllable. But teach them to stay in control. Teach them what emotions are. Teach them, you know, how their actions affect other people in that, you know? I would say that I have, as far as rules of that go, I only had two besides, you know, be nice to people, don't kill them and stuff like that, you know? I hope those go along with everybody else's rules, you know?
Right.
The first one was don't ever start something, you know, you can't finish. Okay. I always tease about that because if they came over and started wanting to wrestle or whatever, I'm like, what's the first rule? Then it was keep going and keep going, which led me to the second rule, which is my favorite. You always get someone when you least expect it. So I'd say, okay, time out. I got to go do something. And I would plan because I knew that they wanted to wrestle. And all of a sudden, I didn't care whether it was my sons, my daughters. All of a sudden, I'd be like, okay, come over here and, you know, we need to do this, whatever. So their thought process wasn't for getting in a wrestling match. It would be like, all of a sudden, okay, I need you to help. Here, hold these in your hands. And all of a sudden, guess what? I'd look at them, what's the second rule? Boom, and the wrestling match was on, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, I would, and I think another thing is just spend the time with your kids one-on-one, so that they know that they are important. They never have to question that, right? I think the other, so the reason I say that is because even if you can't do it right then, just say, you know what, give me just a little bit of time. We will play cards. We'll sit down and read this book. We'll do this, but give me just a few minutes so that I can, so it's just you and me. And so my youngest, he would be, can we play cards? Okay, you know, fine. But I said, I'm not playing cards with you because every time I do, you win. You've got to give me a chance this time. Okay, Dad, I promise I'll give you a chance. I mean, like you said that last time. And what happens? I either cry or else something's like, I promise I'll give you a chance. So we go where? He knows what's going to happen because as soon as he starts winning, I put my card down and say, I'm not doing this. Come on, Dad, just I'll let you win. And all of a sudden, it ends up in a wrestling match because I've had it, right? And this wrestling match, and I didn't care whether it was playing cards. You know, we would go out, you know, doing something out in the yard or whatever. And all of a sudden, it would end up in a wrestling match because they were winning or whatever. And we've even had some. You would go out ice fishing. And I didn't care. Again, it was my, I didn't do so much with my oldest, but, you know, my two daughters, my youngest, if they start catching more fish or whatever through the ice, I'd be like, okay, yo, the next one you catch, it's on. Okay. And you better watch yourself because I'm stretching out right now. So we had several wrestling matches out on the ice because they're catching more fish than me. And I, but, It was never one where, you know, I'm holding them down and, you know, pounding on their chest or whatever. It was always like, it always ended up in me tapping out. Okay. So it was like, you know, making it. And those are the things that I remember. And you know, just saying, just teasing them about little things, you know. Not long ago, I talked to my oldest daughter and, you know, I ask about the two younger, and I'll tell you, you know, spending time with my youngest daughter, she's a reader. She's just so smart. And just making sure that the things that she wanted to do, especially, if it was her and I out fishing, so much fun because they would just get so involved with just the one-on-one and can we do this, can we do this? But I used to always ask my kids, no matter where we were at, you know, if they came up to see me, I would stay with my parents. And so I'd always ask the questions. So do you come here often? I didn't care whether it was Walmart. I didn't care whether it was, you know, I didn't care whether we were, you know, getting something to eat or whatever. We were just standing there and it was just, you know, no one was talking. I just asked him, so do you come here often? And so I was talking to my oldest daughter, and I said, you know, I asked him about some things, and she's like, yes. And she mentioned my youngest. And she's like, it drives me crazy that every time I'm around, he just kind of leans in. So do you come here often? And I'm like, oh, okay. Just remember, I think as a dad, we need to remember that we have so much more influence over them as to the memories that we can make, as to the things that we will remember about our dads.
Right.
Because there's a lot of people there, you know, my dad's my hero. We want that acceptance. We want the connection. But I think our kids deserve the very best connection that we can offer them, meaning to sit down and work through things, because we know how it feels to be berated and, you know, have somebody come at us just because of something that they don't understand why we did. And then when they understand, they're like, oh, I would have done the same thing. Why'd you come at me then? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
the one thing too that I wanted to kind of touch on was the story of losing your son. Like, as a dad, I don't know how you did that. Like, how do you, like, I have three kids and they're all special. They're all unique to me. Right. And there's something so difficult in losing your son. Like, I just can't picture how you just continue. And that's why I love the fact that you're writing about it. You want to help people with their grief and loss. Like, how do you, like, where do we go as a dad? If there's a dad listening to us and, you know, they've lost one of their children, for example, I want them to kind of hear your words and your thoughts to how to move forward.
You know, I think during the search for my son, that was so hard because I felt so helpless and hopeless because I wasn't able to do a lot. I almost felt embarrassed by standing there watching everybody do everything, and I didn't dare ask questions. We had two helicopters come in. Nobody told me why they were there, and they, you know, until I asked, and so the actual protecting of my son, the actual me finding my son, I'm glad I didn't, because, you know, it was in the river and I'd have freaked out. But I think the hardest part for us as a dad, as a man, is knowing that protecting and providing, sometimes that's completely out of our control. I think it's the vulnerability. That's such a scary word for a man. To let your guard down and realize that you're not perfect. You're not supposed to be perfect. And to look at some of these men who are doing all they can, and everything is so bottled up inside of them, they're about to burst. They're on the brink of just having a breakdown, you know? I've never understood the word grace until, as I'm going through some of this stuff, and I'm saying, I'm struggling with this, or I'm struggling with this, and I don't even know the words how to explain this, or how I feel over here or this. People are like, give yourself some grace. I'm like, what the hell does that mean?
Yeah, right.
We don't know. We don't, because all we know is pull yourself up by the bootstraps, keep walking, go figure it out, right? The most important thing that I've found sometimes is stand still and look around and be aware of what is really going on. How do we move forward? After that, I was stripped down to my bones. I didn't know how I was going to take that next breath, next step. I didn't know how your mind is broken, or so it feels. There's no reality to anything. I think the most important part of this is that we have to learn how to ground ourselves, whether it be and bring ourselves back to reality, whether that means we pick up a rock and we hold on to it, because that gives our senses something to work on. Even if it, you know, I do a lot of fishing, even if it's, you know, putting my hand down in some cold water, there I am, right? But I think also part of the grounding is knowing that if you have a spouse that is very supportive, but also to put that the effort of the loss of the grieving into your other kids and let them know how grateful you are, how much you appreciate the fact that you are their dad. And you may not have to say a whole lot, but it's a fact of, if you're sitting somewhere, you know, if you're sitting on a couch, you say, come shit by you. Because they'll feel that, they'll feel your strength, and you'll get strength from them. I think it's I received a text the morning on Friday morning when we started, I'm looking for my son. And this has absolutely changed the way I look at so many things. I reached out to a good friend. I had gone back into town where it happened. It was, you know, several miles up in the mountains, and I had to come down, been up all night, need something to drink, something to eat, so, you know, kind of bring you back to you. I didn't have much support from family and that, so I reached out to one of my friends who I knew he would either come and just stay with me, or I could, you know, he would talk me through things or what. I think when I sent him a text, he's basically saying, hey, my son Balin went hiking yesterday. He hasn't come home. We're looking for him. I just wanted you to know. I'm driving, and I get this text from him, and it's not what he said he wanted to actually send. Because he wanted to say, I'm on my way. I'll be there. I'm not going anywhere. We're going to find him. But he erased that two or three times, he said. And the text I received, I threw my phone because I was so mad. But it said, let go of the outcome and you will be taken care of.
Wow.
That in itself, I was livid, absolutely beyond livid, because I'm thinking, how dare you send a text that morning? But what it did is it opened up. I wasn't going to accept that, you know, any other options besides we're going to find him and everything. We're going to live happily ever after. Right?
Right. Right.
I think, especially in our day and age, you know, we used to watch our dads just go out and put their heads down and work and figure things out and not say anything about it and, you know, not kill himself off to find a solution. After that text, what it shared with me is the fact that so many times we want a specific outcome. That's all we will accept, which makes it even worse. So if we let go of the outcome, but we do our part, some of the most beautiful things can happen. Some of the most beautiful connections we can make happen. And so I think, you know, any dad who is struggling to figure out if they're doing what they're supposed to, stand still for a minute. Be aware. Watch how happy your kids are with where they are. I want to give them so much more. That's not going to make you any more happy. That's not going to make you any more happy. You're going to find another way to just give them more and give them more and give them more, right? But if you are aware of where things are at and know that in your stewardship over that child, that you did your very best, you did what you could, you did, you know, you took care of that child and you loved them with all of your heart. And they knew that. I think the most important part of that is just knowing that you'll never be perfect. You'll never be everything that you think you should be. So be vulnerable and be authentic to the person who you are. And you will have so much more happiness and so much more, so many more connections, so many more memories, so many more things that can't be taken away from you. Just sit back and be the dad that you need to be in that very moment. That's the most important part.
I love it. I love it, Dorian. And we're going to have you come back on Living the Next Chapter of the Author Podcast.
Okay.
To talk about your author journey, to talk about the book you're writing, you know, in regards to what we're talking about right now. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be a great resource for people to have and to gift to someone who's struggling, you know, in this way. And I'm really excited that we've connected. And
I've
had you here for a while here talking, but there's just something special about your story and how you can take that story and help people with it. So thank you for
my pleasure,
you know, being a dad's space, but I'm looking forward to having you on Living the Next Chapter as well.
Yeah.
And continuing the conversation over there.
Yeah. One last thing I will say is don't believe all the myths of what we're supposed to be as a man, as a husband, as a father. Don't believe all the myths that you're supposed to live up to. You be you, and it's going to be, you're going to live amazing. You'll live your best life. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, and I love that text. I think it goes far and wide for a lot of dads to let go of.
Yes, it does. Yeah,
it does. Yep. It means a lot. So
yes, it does.
That means a lot. Dorian, thank you so much for doing this. And again, I'm going to have you back on Living the Next Chapter, continue the conversation there as well. So thank you for making time to do this.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me on this one. That was great.
Awesome, everyone. All the information in the show notes. You can head over there and you can get more information on Dorian, his books, and more about his story and who he is. He's a great guest. If you're a podcaster, get him on your show. But Dorian, thank you for doing this. Hey, thanks for listening to Dad Space today. I'm so thankful that you were here for this episode. If you like the show, please let another dad know. Hey, that kind of rhymed. Anyways, share the episode out with somebody in your circle who would love Dad Space. That means so much to us here for our guests who donate their time to be on the show. And we just want to see this grow. So, again, another rhyme. Oh, wow. Anyhow, think I need to write a song or something. Thank you for being here with Dad Space. And again, looking forward to the next episode. Look forward to having you here again with us. And if we can help you in any way, or if you have a great guest idea for the show, a topic that you would love us to cover, we would love to do that here on Dad Space. So thanks for listening and thanks for being part of the community. And to you, Dad, thank you for listening and thank you for sharing Dad Space. Catch you on the next one. Take care.